Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
This week we'll talk about more Rock WrestleMania rumors. Is the WWE planning a Queen of the Ring tournament? We have some thoughts on TLC, which is this Sunday. And Mike Riley's going to tell us about his interesting weekend. Each week you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Mike, how are things?
Hey, Jimmy, I'm great. You know, as you mentioned, I had a really good weekend. I'll tell you about it in a couple of minutes here. But overall, can't complain. Can't believe we're just a couple of weeks away from Christmas and 3 weeks left in 2018. It's been a pretty fun, exciting year, and ready to turn the page to 2019 after this. How are you?
So as you can hear in my voice, I'm a little under the weather, which I fully blame on you and yelling at you last week's episode.
Sure. Well, that's your punishment.
I opened up last week really angry about Raw, and I think it's disgusting that they're doing what they're doing to all the talent that they have on the show, and I'm actually still really frustrated about it. Their talent just still is not being used to the best of their abilities, but I don't want to do that rant again. I don't want to do it. They just switched the tag team titles. Who the F knows why? If you're going to put the titles on AOP, ride them out until somebody legitimately can come around and beat them. But don't just switch the titles to these S-bag old tag team partners who are just kind of, you know what? I'm not doing that again. I'm not going to do that.
Take a vitamin C and you'll feel better.
I'm not going to do that again because there is some good in WWE. And I watched SmackDown on Tuesday night. It was fabulous. The new Daniel Bryan, who is trying to save the environment as WWE champion, is awesome. The tag team division is straight fire, as is Becky Lynch, and the program with Charlotte, Asuka, and Asuka for the Women's SmackDown Championship. So WWE isn't all that bad. That's not where I want to start this week because, really, I can't yell at you for an hour again. It's not good for me.
One more thing to touch on SmackDown that I also like too is Samoa Joe's angle with Jeff Hardy.
Yes, it's excellent.
And it's part,
if you remember the program with CM Punk a few years ago with Jeff Hardy, it's good stuff.
SmackDown is just
really good. It's really kind of hit its groove a little bit. And I wish more people would go to the show and watch the program because they're not. But SmackDown is really good. And just to answer our Twitter follower Jared's question, I think the new Daniel Bryan will indeed turn out to be the best version of WWE's Daniel Bryan, more than anything else, because the volume of who Bryan Danielson is going to shine through the microphone and the television set. And I think it's good stuff if he gets nice long run with the championship.
Yeah, and you know what, Jimmy? Good for WWE allowing him to kind of be... Like, it's almost like the real, I don't know Daniel Bryan as a person. I know you've had some personal interaction with him.
He's awesome.
So, you know, I don't know him A to Z, but from what I heard, it sounds like this is kind of like the real Daniel Bryan outside the ring, more or less, with his views and life and everything, which is fine. But we're getting the real thing. And I think that's a benefit to what SmackDown has for characters, situations like that. Okay, what do we know Daniel Bryan as before this heel situation? What do we know him best as? The yes. Okay, and it just seemed as though that was getting a little old. And sure, his defining moment was WrestleMania 30, but then he got hurt, and you know, it took a long time to rebound, and then he get back in as a general manager for SmackDown, and you know, finally back into the ring, which is quite a story. But again, it was no longer the little engine that could after he did come back to it. And I just think that kind of lost the fire. So brilliant by WWE allowing him to have this character here. It's the best thing going on SmackDown, in my opinion, besides the Becky Lynch the storyline character.
SmackDown just has so many good things, and I do want to point out that they are doing a lot of good things. So not all WWE is bad, just a lot of the stuff on Raw. What I want to lead with is Joe Murray sent me a tweet from @WrestleVotes, whatever that is. I'm not familiar with them, but here's what they wrote, and this is what interests me. Because I'm not above just, you could have one follower. If I think your tweet is interesting, I will take it as gossip, because that's what I do best. I am a gossiper at heart. Quote from @WrestleVotes on Twitter, whatever that is. Quote, plan at one point was for The Rock to win the Royal Rumble and face Roman Reigns at Mania. That's obviously not happening. Can Rock still win it and face Lesnar? I guess. Depends on what kind of agreement Rock and WWE have. Once plans changed, Rock may have reconsidered, unquote. I don't know if this is true. I don't know if it's a blind guess, but I love all of these Rock rumors. And as we've talked about for the last few weeks, Rock's doing something WrestleMania weekend. At least that's how it feels. There's too much smoke for there not to be some sort of fire. Whether it's moving the Hall of Fame around so he could be there Saturday night, they have him for 48 hours. We talked about that. That's available in the archives. I guess my bigger question, and it might seem simplistic and maybe even stupid, does The Rock being on WrestleMania and involved with WWE, does that help their product?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's a no-brainer. It's not even a question, because you look at where he is today, what he's done, you know, even his accomplishments in the ring too. It's going to help the product, obviously, because the casual WWE fan knows him as not just his time before in the ring, but especially now for being an actor and so successful. But it also helps out, you know, similar to kind of how Ronda Rousey came in last year, Jimmy, where you may not be a fan of the WWE, but you're going to watch WrestleMania because of Ronda Rousey coming in there. And now you're definitely going to get it because of The Rock. And of course, it's going to be on all of the tabloid shows, Hollywood Tonight, Entertainment Tonight, you know, even your late night local news and so forth.
Do people still watch that stuff?
Yeah, my dad does.
Have that audience. They have the older audience. They need to get to the younger audience. And some would make the argument that WWE doesn't do as much of that stuff because they think that they are Disney. Yeah, and they think that they will surpass Disney in 10 years, which...
People
good luck
know
with
the
that.
Rock.
You need a theme park.
No, that's true. I mean, that would be awesome. That would be really cool. But, you know, kids know who The Rock is. They do. You know, he's in the he was the cartoon voice there for that. The heck was that movie? I forget what it is. You'll be watching it with your daughter in a couple of years, Jimmy. I'm probably getting screamed at by someone on the podcast right now in their car.
Oh, the song that he sings, You're Welcome, is already one of my favorites.
So much. He's been so many movies, though. Kids know who he is. It's going to be good all around for everybody, he and WWE.
So I think it depends on who the opponent is.
Okay.
And how he's used. If it's Brock, yeah, The Rock beating Brock Lesnar is a major moment. But Cena versus The Rock 2 didn't really go over well.
No.
The first one in Miami, I was there. I enjoyed the match. The Rock hurt himself. I didn't see The Rock winning, even though he should have, because it was Miami. But if he's in the ring against a Daniel Bryan, that doesn't help The Rock. If he's in the ring with a regular, that doesn't help The Rock. If he's in the ring with Roman Reigns, I don't even think that helps it doesn't help Roman Reigns, who's there the next day.
Yeah.
So I think it all depends on who the opponent is.
Well,
beyond that, I mean, yeah, you want more eyes on the product, but that WrestleMania crowd is a completely different animal.
It is, but also at the same time,
like, for example, he was a surprise in Dallas.
Yeah.
And people got excited because it was an unadvertised match, and we thought it was going to be Bray Wyatt, but they did a switch, and it ended up being Eric Rowan, and it was 3 seconds, 4 seconds, 5 seconds.
Big pop.
Whatever it was, and people accepted that because oh, The Rock is going to wrestle. And then it was a quick match. And it's like, okay, well, The Rock won. And then Cena came out and the crowd was like, we really didn't want to see Rock and Cena beat up the Wyatts. But there was anticipation for a bonus match. Now you're promoting a match with The Rock. So who he faces is really an important decision.
Well, yes and no. Yes and no. Because who he does face, I mean, it would be a lot more sexy if he fights someone, i.e. Brock Lesnar, The Undertaker, John Cena. Just the name. Two big names here. However, though, if you're going to put him in the Hall of Fame, which, you know, all indications are that it is going to be the Hall of Fame. Yeah, I know you're right. It doesn't help out The Rock if he's going to fight a Daniel Bryan or even, I'm just speaking hypothetically here, a Drew McIntyre or a Dolph Ziggler. It doesn't. I'm just speaking hypothetical. You know, one of those guys. But what it does do, that makes that particular WrestleMania The Rock's WrestleMania because he's back for the first time in the ring in, what, 4 or 5 years? And he's inducted into the Hall of Fame that weekend. So in that situation there, it doesn't matter, no pun intended with The Rock, who he does fight. But if he doesn't go in the Hall of Fame and if he's just back for the one night only, just one night, then you got to have him go up against a big-name superstar.
I think I've almost talked myself into Rock does the Hall of Fame, and then he does a surprise match against somebody who's making fun of him, much like Dallas. I think that's probably the best way to go if you don't have Rock versus Brock, which is really, I think, the only way that Rock comes out looking better than he did, is he's the one who comes back, gets the championship from Lesnar if he's still the Universal Champion, and then it goes wherever it goes.
Oh, then you could set up a tournament because he's not going to be around full time.
You know, no. The prince is going to pay him $20 million for Saudi Arabia, or we can go through that again.
Well, that's true. Yeah. That's a tough one to turn down.
In case you haven't noticed, I'm still obsessed with the WrestleMania lineup. and if you're asking me how WrestleMania in New York should line up, I kind of put it together like this, Mike. It's Ronda versus Becky versus Charlotte for the Women's Championship, the
Triple Threat
SmackDown. It's Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship. It's Daniel Bryan versus The Miz for the WWE Championship. It's Dean Ambrose versus Finn Balor for the Intercontinental Championship. And somehow they have to get to Sasha Banks versus Bayley for the Raw Women's Championship. Those are kind of my top matches, just my obsession with WrestleMania. I don't have AJ slotted in there because I'm still not sure about his contract situation. But he is scheduled for the Royal Rumble meet and greets in January.
Yeah.
So I'd have to find a spot for AJ Styles. At first, when I was kind of scribbling this down, I had Joe versus Bryan because that's just a match that I love. I've seen in Ring of Honor. It's a great match. But both of those are bad guys. The Miz is a good guy. Seems a little odd, but I think he's at the point where he deserves another run with the WWE Championship and really deserves to win it on the WrestleMania stage.
Yeah.
So they could have like some WWE cluster championship match, Bryan, Miz, AJ, Samoa Joe all in there. Makes logical sense. I generally, though, like one-on-one matches for championships. And also, I saw Eric on Twitter ask if he thought Undertaker versus Shawn was still on the board for WrestleMania. My guess is it's still in pencil, but Shawn Michaels, after his match in Parts Unknown, that tag team match on the Friday in early November, late October, whenever it was, he looked like he was in a no mas mode.
Yeah, it didn't look good. And that's why I'm kind of, you know, I was so gung-ho on Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker for the official retirement match of The Undertaker. And that's where I thought over the weekend here, Jimmy, especially after having a meet and greet with him, the more I thought about it, like, how do they put him in on WrestleMania? And, you know, he either will make a return at the Royal Rumble, and that's where you can set up a elimination. And I think you just hit the nail on the head with someone who is not, we're not sure about the contract situation, but I would not be shocked if it's going to be him and AJ Styles. Because you look at what AJ Styles can do in the ring. One, he makes everyone better in the ring with him. And I had serious doubts in that Survivor Series match last year against Brock Lesnar. I'm like, ugh, this is going to suck. But it was actually a great match because AJ makes you better. And you know he'll carry the match. He's going to have to because The Undertaker can only do so much one-on-one. I think he could give him a good more of a lengthy fight than what we saw with John Cena last year. And also, AJ has a capability, Jimmy, of being a heel. He could very easily be a heel, too, because The Undertaker is so over with the fans, and he's really is a babyface when you think about it. He is truly a babyface, a fan favorite there, and that's where AJ could very easily turn heel at the Royal Rumble by eliminating him if he's like a surprise entrant or something.
Well, if you're talking about turning AJ Styles, he can use the fact that when he lost the WWE Championship and they changed the match from Brock Lesnar versus AJ Styles to Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan, nobody cared.
No.
Nobody was clamoring for it. The crowd was chanting Becky most of the night for Becky right. Lynch. AJ Styles, great wrestler, arguably the best wrestler in the world, mm-hmm. and he lost the WWE Championship, missed his first pay-per-view since he had joined the company, and... he lost the championship.
And there's no outrage. You're right. No outrage. And also the fact that he had the chance of breaking that record, which would have been less than a month away. And that's gone.
January 15th was the date. He would have broken the CM Punk record.
And that is absolutely extinguished. Have not heard a thing about it. So, yeah, great way to put him heel in that situation there if he has to do that. And
but at this point, though, Mike, like if you're to do Undertaker versus AJ Styles, that reeks to me more of CM Punk versus Undertaker, which is a great match. Was a great match in New York at 29 WrestleMania 29.
Yep.
But did anybody really think that Punk was going to beat Undertaker?
No.
In the same way, do you think that AJ Styles is going to beat the Undertaker?
Nothing surprises me anymore after the streak has been broken. So,
but
I don't
we were shocked that Brock did it because. We just kind of mailed it in that the Undertaker streak continues. And then we knew Roman was going to win because it was Undertaker's last match at the time. We didn't expect Cena to get routed last year, but it was the right move.
Right.
So the Undertaker-AJ thing, cool match on paper, but don't you need the threat of the Undertaker losing?
Yeah, you need the threat of that, and that's why I said the retirement situation, if you were to put he and Shawn Michaels in there, that's a perfect scenario right there. But, you know, with the AJ Styles thing, if he is to go up against Taker, which, again, I'm leaning more and more toward that, and not that AJ needs that on his resume anymore, but he could have that of, okay, I beat the Undertaker at WrestleMania, and then that could potentially set up something between he and Roman Reigns, two guys who did beat the Undertaker at WrestleMania. Or he's one of the guys that say, yep, I fought the Undertaker WrestleMania. Even though I didn't win, I still fought the Dead Man, and that's on his resume there. So a lot of potential for him to turn heel and get the you know, the fans going against him, with the Taker being a heavy favorite going into WrestleMania against AJ Styles, if that were the case.
And also, just to finish up this point, if you're going to beat the Undertaker again, mm-hmm. you need to transfer that to somebody who can brag about it for a long time. That was the that was the good thing about Brock, is that you had Paul Heyman who could just brag about it. Mm-hmm. Roman Reigns got, what, one night of bragging out of it?
That was it. Nothing.
And he even just, all he said was, this is my yard now. Mm-hmm. So you need to transfer that to somebody who's younger, who's more under contract. And I'd have to really think about who that is. AJ isn't that guy. He just
isn't. Maybe Drew McIntyre.
Ugh.
I'm just saying. I'm talking hypothetical here. The size, Jimmy. You know the size.
Yeah, that doesn't mean he's right.
You want Finn Balor?
Finn's not believable.
Okay. So go ahead.
I mean, if you're telling me Demon Finn Balor, it's still not believable, but in the world of supernatural characters, who knows?
Yeah. So much possibility, so much. And I'm very excited to see where it all pans out after the new year.
But I'm obsessed with the WrestleMania lineup. I just
add. Yeah, I like your card. I really haven't had too much time to create my own, but I like yours so far. I can ride off of that.
I mean, I still think that they should do Ronda versus Charlotte or Ronda versus Becky and not make it a three-way, but that might be the compromise because Becky's too hot not to have that as a main event. Have her involved in that match in some way.
Yeah.
Even though I still think that the Vince McMahon world is like, it's Ronda Rousey. It's got to be against Ric Flair's daughter. How could it not be?
Right.
And then you slot everything from there.
Yeah.
Speaking of Ric Flair's daughter, an idea being talked about for 2019 would be a Queen of the Ring tournament with the main roster women. At this point, it's just an idea thrown around, but they are looking for ideas for a second all-women's pay-per-view show in 2019. With how well the first one was received, one would think they would want to do at least one this year. Me, I'm thrilled that they're going to do another women's pay-per-view. I thought Evolution was great. I like the idea that the women have a smaller, more focused roster. And, of course, we know who the first Queen of the Ring would be.
Yeah, on paper.
I hear you groaning at me.
No, I thought it was funny.
Don't groan at me.
Am I groaning?
The audience just groaned at me. I heard them. I heard you groan at me. You know who I'm talking about. You're driving around in your car, and I just heard you groan that Charlotte is going to be the first Queen of the Ring. Yes, that will happen.
All right.
You groan on your own time. What do you think about the concept of doing a Queen of the Ring as their all-women's pay-per-view?
I love it. I think it's great because, you know, it's been talked about for a while if the King of the Ring tournament would come back, and this is a great scenario, again, to showcase the female evolution in the WWE. And, you know, they have their first ever women's pay-per-view back in October, and it was pretty successful. Excuse me. I think you'd just write off the hot hand, what you have right now, all the talent. And, you know, Jimmy, we've talked about it before, that the female product is like, people just drop everything to watch that. It's become the main storyline for both shows.
And it's really saving the balance in ratings. Their ratings could be a lot worse if they haven't invested so much into the women wrestlers.
Yeah, it's been really good.
Women superstars, my bad.
Well, but I think it just would be great. And again, just more history to be written out for the women's division. And, you know, to say that, yep, the first ever Queen of the Ring tournament, Charlotte can brag about that. I'm the queen and so forth. It would be really, really cool. And I think, you know what? What are we looking at for the next Saudi Arabia show? May or April? April, right?
I believe it's April. I believe it's after Mania.
So you can do the Queen of the Ring right after that in May or something to offset that because, as you know, they're not allowed in Saudi Arabia. So perfect opportunity right there to cure that WrestleMania hangover, right?
And it's there. I mean, we've gone to WrestleManias and we have a wrestling hangover immediately after it.
It's hard to bounce back from. It really
is. I mean, because we've peaked.
Money in the Bank does help. That does help to, you know, bridge the gap on the way to SummerSlam. But after that, though, it's tough.
Money in the Bank, by the way, should be in Boston, but that's a story for another day.
Has it been announced here for this year?
No, but it should be in Boston.
I'd love it back here again.
Coming up next, we'll talk about TLC, which is this Sunday, and Mike Riley had an interesting weekend experience. He will share that with you coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Tables, ladders, and chairs. Oh, my. Is this Sunday, and I want to start with what jumps out at me, and that is the match that I'm looking most forward to, and that's Becky Lynch defending the SmackDown Women's Championship against Charlotte Flair and Asuka in the first women's TLC match in WWE history. Dave Meltzer, Wrestling Observer Newsletter, he says, quote, "The reason Lynch hasn't worked house shows or done anything physical on television is that she also hasn't been cleared as of press time." Press time for Dave was Thursday, December 7th, 8th, something like that.
Six,
something like that.
Yeah.
She was cleared from the concussion, but not from the nasal fracture. Becky Lynch responded on Twitter and said she was fully cleared. So yeah. I'm looking forward to this match for a number of reasons. I think Becky and Charlotte and Asuka are going to tear the house down. They're great stuff. A big part of me thinks that Becky is going to retain at this point. But Asuka being part of the match leaves me thinking that Asuka could win because she needs something to do. And if Becky and Charlotte are destined for Ronda eventually, long or short term, this is a way to get that clean. And you just have Asuka climb the ladder, pull down the title, and you beat both of them. And if you put the title on Asuka, it would allow Becky and Charlotte to be in the Royal Rumble match. You could have them both win and then have them both challenge Ronda Rousey for the Raw Women's Championship at WrestleMania in New York. Again, obsession with WrestleMania's card.
Yeah. So, all right. Now, this has to be the main event, Jimmy. I think it's crazy to not have it be the main event. And if you do have Asuka win that, even going into the match, who's the clear underdog? Who is it?
It's Asuka.
Asuka, okay. So in that situation right there, in the main event, Asuka the underdog, and goes in to knock off Becky Lynch and Charlotte, you know, just climbing the ladder, taking the title, that's awesome. That's fantastic for her right there. Carry that into the Royal Rumble. That would be a great storyline there if that were the case.
Like I said, I don't think that Asuka's going to win, but,
no,
but I, at least in my mind, I'm trying to think of a scenario why she's in this match, because this should be the last match of the Charlotte Flair Becky Lynch program for now.
But you know, we've seen so many twists and turns and everything, you know, all that stuff. I wouldn't be shocked if Charlotte comes away with this again.
I'm with you on that one. I could see a scenario where that happens too.
Yeah, it just seems like, you know, everyone's behind Becky now. And
Mike,
you know,
that's why I love this matchup so much. Mm-hmm. All three legitimately can win.
Well, you know what else too, Jimmy? You're right. All three could legitimately win there. But I wouldn't be surprised if Charlotte does some sort of interference with Ronda Rousey and Nia Jax's match.
Oh, they're going to cross paths. They have to cross paths.
Yeah, something's going to happen. And then Becky Lynch could go right after Nia Jax too. You know, for knocking her out and giving her that concussion. So something could happen there on that end as well.
I could see a scenario longer term where that's how they get Becky to Raw and that's how they get Ronda to SmackDown is mm-hmm. Ronda beats Charlotte at WrestleMania for the SmackDown Women's Championship and Becky right. somehow goes after Nia Jax, who has won the Raw Women's Championship from Ronda Rousey because Ronda is weakened because of the Charlotte Flair beating and da-da-da-da-da-da. Yep. Does yep. Nia Jax deserve the Raw Women's Championship? No, she punched Becky Lynch in the face intentionally.
Yeah.
And
that's almost like a lifetime.
And
punishment.
She doesn't deserve it for that reason, but she's got the crowd reaction, and that's what they're going for. Like, people right. legitimately hate Nia Jax for this.
Yeah, exactly.
And if it really was intentional, like I believe it was, then you probably should.
No, it's true. And just to, you know,
one day I'm going to come across Nia Jax and she's going to kick my ass for this, but, you know, I'll burn that bridge when I get to it.
Well, we'll have to hire some sort of protection service for you. But I will say, though, Jimmy, again,
I just want Farouk. I don't need Bradshaw. I just want Farouk as my protection.
I'd be okay with that, too. You know, one of the greatest football players in the history of Florida State. But I'll say this, though.
Damn.
That's right, baby. That's right. I'll say this, though, that, you know, to talk about before, like we were before the break here, we're talking about an all-women's match here and potentially before with the all-women's King of the Ring or Queen of the Ring tournament, how exciting that would be. Here we are. We're talking about the triple threat to be the main event and how excited we are for that right there. That's how far this division has come, and that could be the main event, and that should be the main event. That's the most exciting match on the card, so kudos to the Women's Evolution and the great work they're doing.
Do you care about Braun Strowman versus Baron Corbin?
Nope, not at all. I could care less. In fact, I'm probably going to put on Sunday Night Football during that match.
The interesting thing to me is if Braun is actually cleared in this, because he's got some damage done to his elbow, and there's some dirt sheet speculation that he might not be ready for the Royal Rumble, which would throw a whole nother monkey wrench into their plans. I don't think it's the worst idea that Braun's off TV for a while, because I don't know that Braun was going to beat Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble, and you really don't need to beat your Andre the Giant 3-4 times to the same guy. It just kind of doesn't make any sense. So Braun, heal up, take your time, and we'll see you when you win the tag team titles at WrestleMania with a 9-year-old again. The rest of the card, actually, I think the rest of the card is really good. It's at least on paper. You have Bryan versus AJ Styles for the WWE Championship, Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose scheduled for the Intercontinental Championship, Ronda versus Nia, which could go either way, which makes it interesting. Finn versus Drew, Elias versus Lashley. We don't care about Lashley. Actually, quick little aside, Elias, there was a dirt sheet report that Elias was almost the Intercontinental Champion.
Oh, okay. I mean, that would be cool. I mean, he is so over right now. But I think he deserves a title of some sort. I think he should have something on him. Be an easy target for everyone to go after, you know?
And then the match that will probably, like, you have so many match of the night candidates. The tag team championship, Sheamus, Cesaro versus Usos versus New Day. Like, you have four legitimate match of the nights.
Well, the one I'm looking forward to, and we saw the promo tonight, was Natty and Ruby Riott. I'm very excited for that in the tables match.
Yeah, Ruby Riott, one of my favorite performers. She's great. Anything she does is just fabulous.
Yep, I'm excited for that, too. So two women's matches, very excited. And, yeah, like you said, Jimmy, the Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, that should be good, too, because, you know, those two really go all out when they are in the ring, and they're going to put on a good show when they work together, too.
I'll be interested to see if they switch the title back to AJ, and I don't think that they will. But if you really want this new Daniel Bryan to work, he's got to be the champion. And there's a theory out there that they only switched the title off of AJ because Vince didn't want to beat AJ against Brock back-to-back years. Of course, Billy Lanny, who co-produces the Felger and Maz show with me, thinks that AJ is going to win the Royal Rumble and fight Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania.
Wow.
Which isn't a terrible theory, but then you get the AJ Styles, you get the Brock Lesnar beating AJ Styles. You get the power of AJ Styles being Brock Lesnar on a big stage, and it transfers and it makes AJ a bigger star.
There you go.
Presumably.
There
you go. We'll try it in English.
It's all good.
At least I'm not yelling at you, right?
No. If it did, I would yell back at you. So go ahead.
Seth and Dean, I think this is where Ambrose wins the Intercontinental Championship, and then Seth goes on to win the Royal Rumble match, and then Seth is actually the one who goes on to challenge Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. That's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know. It just seemed like there was so much more. I thought this rival could have been better with Seth and Dean, and I'm not saying it isn't good. I think it could have been better than how they've booked it so far. Maybe it's just because Raw is so bad right now, but I think it could have been better than what we have been given.
Mike, I think the actual reason why we hate it so much is because they used a real-life situation and they turned it into a storyline.
Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah.
And that's and they should have had a longer – they should have drawn it out a little bit longer, but they chose not to. They chose to impact people that way, and we're just like – or it could be that we've seen them feud for so long, and it just doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. So, hey, it's probably coming to an end on Sunday, like you said. This is going to be it.
So, Mike, you had an interesting weekend.
I did.
And, Please detail it for us.
Sure. So, let's rewind to about a month ago, Jimmy. I'm on Instagram and following The Undertaker on there, and if for those of you on Instagram, you know that people can put up the stories and so forth. Well, the Taker put up his story on Instagram, and it said, Charleston, South Carolina, get ready to rest in peace.
Wait a minute. The Undertaker is on Instagram.
He is. Yeah.
I wouldn't have expected that.
Yeah. Check it out. Check it out. At Undertaker. It's pretty good. So you should also follow his wife, too, Michelle McCool. Puts up some cool pictures of behind-the-scenes stuff with them out and about. But anyways, Taker says, I'll be in Charleston, South Carolina, December 8th, and a very good friend of mine lives down in South Carolina, Charleston, matter of fact. So I said, wait a second. I look at the thing, and there's an autograph session at a sports bar, so I asked him if I could stay with them during that weekend when the Taker was there, and he said, absolutely. Jumped on it, ordered my ticket, And I met The Undertaker this past weekend in Charleston, South Carolina at the Charleston Sports Pub. Drop by there if you're ever in that area. It was in West Ashley. Great time, wonderful people. And The Taker, really good dude. And this was a major bucket list item for me, Jimmy, as you know, because he is my favorite of all time. And I had him sign my Attitude Era belt and also an Undertaker urn. So I probably had about 2.5 to 3 minutes of chit-chat with him as he was signing my stuff, and I let him know. He said, you know, what is your name? And I said, my name is Mike. And he goes, Mike, nice to meet you, man. And I told him, I'm from Boston, and you're my favorite of all time, and I want to thank you for everything you've done in the ring. And he said, oh, thank you, Mike. That means a lot. And I said, you know, Boston loves you too, because you had a lot of good memories, you know, in the ring, but also at the old Boston Garden, and even WrestleMania 14, I was there for that. And he goes, oh, I love the old Garden. It was a cool place to be, and I miss going in there, but Boston's a cool town. So he really liked that, and he said he's a big Tom Brady fan. He likes Tom Brady too. I don't think anybody dislikes Tom Brady, Jimmy, as we know. But Taker, really good guy, great with the fans, and it was an honor to meet the dead man. So there you go.
You forgot to talk to him about the night he won the WWF Championship at the Fleet Center.
Oh, well, that's right. That was a house show, right?
That was a house show where he beat Shawn Michaels shortly after the Montreal Screwjob. I was there. I saw the three count that the referee took back.
Yep. Okay.
It was criminal. Absolutely criminal. I watched it. It was Tombstone, three count, because somebody was late in pulling Shawn out, but I know that referee counted three, and The Undertaker won the title.
Nice. well, it was, like I said, it was a highlight to meet him, and really meant a lot. So, Jimmy, you and I, we've had a lot of experience meeting superstars over the years, and I think you can speak for that, too. If you ever have the chance to jump on a situation to meet your favorite superstar or anyone in that kind, do it while you can.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. And the Undertaker story that really actually jumps out to me is when we were in Dallas, we were in the Bray Wyatt line for access. And The Undertaker was the 3 o'clock session for VIP. So WrestleMania weekend, they do these VIP access things where you pay money and you get to stand in line for 2 hours and you get to take a picture with a superstar and you get an autograph and you get to have a little interaction. It's, you know, it's maybe it's 60-second process, right?
That's cool.
So when we got in there at 6 o'clock, which was when our session was to begin, and the Undertakers started at 3 and it was supposed to end at 5 o'clock. The Undertaker, from the looks of when we got in there, he ended his session around 6:30, 6:45, something in that. I used to be able to remember the actual timestamps, but it was about 30 to 40 minutes after we had walked in there. And based on those 30 to 40 minutes, it looked like he spent time with people, because he's sitting at a table for 3, 4, 5, 6. So, I mean, that's 3.5 hours. That's almost 4 hours. And he's making sure that every fan has that experience, I think, because he thought that that was going to be his last WrestleMania. Because, of course, he threw his gloves at Shane McMahon after he won, and then he told Vince he was retired, and then he was unretired, and so on and so on and so on.
Well,
but it shows you the type of person that The Undertaker is that he takes the time. And granted, we're paying fans, so, I mean, there's a degree of that, but not everyone does that. There have been horror stories of people paying for superstars and these superstars treat them like garbage.
Exactly. And you know, I actually saw a interview The Undertaker did on a TV station, local TV station in Austin, Texas, not too long ago. Saw it on YouTube. And he did make a point that, you know, if I'm doing an autograph session or if I'm doing a show, I'll give you all I will. I'll give you everything I can. But if you see me in the airport, and if I'm with family or something, you know, just please respect my privacy. But I'll give you everything I can when I have a public signing or a show, because, you know, just part of my job. And he respects the fans and he wants to give back. But anything else, he's just a regular guy. He's a human. So you got to respect that, right?
And that's kind of the airport thing. Like, there are so many people who've told me about the airport thing and just shoving action figures in somebody's face and no thank yous. And
But they're human, Jimmy. That's what you got to remember.
Right. And we're all fans. But there's a line there.
Right. Right. So it's like going out to dinner. You see someone at the, dinner with their family and kids, you're not going to bother them. Like, okay, as hard as that would be to contain myself in a situation like that, you still have to respect the fact that, yeah, that's Tom Brady and Giselle over there, but I'm not going to go bother them because they're with their family. You leave them alone.
Right.
So, boom. Great time. Bucket list item, just to close it out with The Undertaker.
Do you have any more bucket list items? Any more meet and greets?
For wrestlers, let's see. I mean, I did meet The Rock 20 years ago at WrestleMania 14 in Boston, but I really want to meet him again so he can sign a few items for me, a few more items. That's probably my big one now. Unfortunately, the other ones have all since gone to other parts unknown or wherever, you know? How about you?
I'd have to think about it. I really would have to think about it.
Yeah, I mean, Andre the Giant is right up there for me. That's out. Macho Man would have been awesome. Gorilla Monsoon.
I think Vince is the one.
Yeah, at this point, Vince.
Vince is the one.
Yep, at this point. Just give him a handshake.
Vince is the one. I mean, we've both had the privilege of shaking a McMahon's hand.
Yep.
Which is really cool. We had the chance to interact with Shane McMahon last year after WrestleMania real quick.
Yep.
Which was really cool.
It's very nice.
I'd love to have a conversation with Vince.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yep.
I could give him his Christmas gifts.
That's fantastic.
I just have a closing thought on the passing of Dynamite Kid. For me, he was such an innovative wrestler. And when I started watching wrestling in 1987, it was the Bulldogs and the Hart Foundation. And they were just having fabulous tag team matches. And Dynamite's aggressive, high-flying skills really grabbed me. It was Dynamite Kid and a women's tag team named the Jumping Bomb Angels, who at the time, to me, 1987 just had such exciting and innovative offense. And Dynamite had such an impact on me for that time period. So if you have the WWE Network, I know everybody suggests that the Tiger Mask match at MSG, which is actually a Becky Lynch pick on the network this month, that's a good one. I think his match with Randy Savage from the Wrestling Classic is an outstanding match for its time and for its time constraints. The tag team title win against Beefcake and Valentine at WrestleMania 2, that's one to watch. A personal favorite match of mine is SummerSlam 88. It's the Bulldogs and the Rougeau brothers. And if you have New Japan World, this is really the match that you want to find. It's from 1983. It's Dynamite Kid against Tiger Mask. This is probably Dynamite Kid's best match that you'll find on video. And you should find that match. It might be available on YouTube or Daily Motion, but if you have New Japan World, Dynamite Kid versus Tiger Mask, 1983, that's the match. That's probably the best Dynamite Kid match that there is on VHS tape or digital downloads or whatever.
Yeah, and just a really skilled athlete. And, you know, Jimmy, it's sad because here we are, two, 3 months ago, we just lost Jim the Anvil Neidhart. That's really it for the Hart Foundation, with the exception of Brett. That's it. And Jimmy Hart, if you want to throw him in as well. But that's the end of a real era. Awesome, awesome athlete. And I know that great tag team with the British Bulldog, and it just kind of came as a shock, came out of nowhere last Thursday morning or Friday.
He had been in poor health for a long time. He had been wheelchair bound, and there's a documentary, I believe it was produced by High Spots, that documented his body falling apart. And this High Spots documentary was from years ago. I was almost an investor in it.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I was that into it because I love the Dynamite Kid. He was just awesome, and I was willing to, you know, throw a little money towards the project. But his downfall actually began in '87 because he was just so juiced up, and his body just collapsed one night. And for him to drop the titles to the Hart Foundation. They had to carry him to the ring, and they did an angle where they clocked him from behind so he could just lay on the ground, knocked out, and he wasn't going to come back. And then he got into shape and he came back, and it was kind of short lived and da 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 da. But what an innovative talent. What a great in ring talent. He's got a complex story, which, again, I think that High Spots documentary really captures it. But as far as in ring, like, fabulous performer. Way he was a generation too early, I would say.
Yeah.
In the same way that Billy Graham was a generation too early.
Mm-hmm. And kind of underappreciated. Very underappreciated.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
No, just, yeah, underappreciated talent. Like you said, generation early, and certainly will be missed. Rest in peace.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For Mike Riley at Sarge985, the show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985, which I believe, Mike, you'll be putting some polls up on the WrestleCast account.
Yeah, we'll be talking about this, you and I, what to put up there for polls over the next week. Be sure to vote on it, though. We're going to have some good stuff up there. Maybe Superstar of the Year, Favorite Moment, and then we'll wait till after TLC for Pay-Per-View of the Year. So going to be good, some good stuff there over the next week or so as we close out 2018.
You can follow me on Twitter. I am at I Am James Stewart. Mike, we will talk to the audience after the TLC Pay-Per-View.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.